Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, from Jesus, the one who opens resurrection to us all, and from the Holy Spirit, who unites us all in joy. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's try that again. I'm going to need that various points throughout the service. So here we go. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Do you remember what you felt like when the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2011? Or in 1997? Or in 1966? Yeah. Use your own analogy if you're not a Packers fan, but that sweet collective joy is what resurrection is like. Really, I'm not being cute or pandering to a Green Bay audience. Yeah, okay, maybe a little. And apologies to the one Bears fan I know is in the congregation. There may be others, David Hassel. Although you did have that. You did have that thing in 1986, I admit it. Yeah, okay. But what I'd like us to reflect on a little this Easter Sunday is how we may misunderstand resurrection altogether if we think of it in individualistic terms as my resurrection. I want us to meditate this morning instead on our resurrection. Our resurrection. Our gospel in John is a story of relationship, isn't it? Especially the one between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. The disciples get in the act too, but as the gospel makes clear, they don't quite get it. Mary doesn't get it at first either, which is interesting. She's mourning, she's lingering at the tomb, she sees a couple of angels, you'd think that might be a clue. And then Jesus shows up. And Jesus always shows up. Jesus is standing right there, and yet she doesn't recognize him. And how many times does this happen to us, my sisters and brothers? Jesus is standing right there, and we don't recognize it. New life, eternal life, is right there, a step away, a breath away, and we don't know it. But then, Jesus says her name, Mary. And she knows. I have seen the Lord, she says to the disciples when she returns to them. The longer I live, the more I think the individualistic notion of resurrection just isn't right. You see, when I was a child growing up in Appleton, I was terrified of dying. In part, that was because I said a prayer before going to bed every night. Probably know the prayer, right? You could say it with me. Why not? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And this I ask for Jesus' sake. That's the Lutheran part. Amen. So I would say that prayer every night with my mom or dad, and then they would leave. And I'd lay there afraid to close my eyes because I might die. I remember fixing my vision on the streetlight that reflected off our neighbor's house, because as long as I could see the light, I knew I wasn't dead yet. Now, I hope you agree with me that that prayer, while well-intentioned, was harmful. And it was harmful not because it made me aware of death, something we all need to face realistically, I think, but because it made me focus on my soul, the word used twice in that prayer. The prayer turned me inward, and I found fear, rather than turning me outward into relationship with God and others. Because here's the thing, the resurrection of the soul didn't come from Jesus. It came from Plato. Plato imagined the person as a dichotomy of body and soul, with the body as a prison and the soul as eternal. The Christian idea, in contrast, as Paul may explain and as our gospel emphasizes, is the resurrection of the body. But each of our bodies is distinct, isn't it? And how can all these different bodies, yours, mine, and yours, billions of bodies over the course of history, how can all of these bodies possibly be resurrected? Can't believe it, right? Doesn't make sense. Several years ago, our beloved golden retriever, Charlie, who was the most mellow creature on the planet, really began to deteriorate as he turned 14. Charlie had always loved to hold hands. I'd be sitting on a couch, and Charlie would plop his paw on my lap, and he would be perfectly content just as long as I held on to his paw. In fact, we would watch entire Packers games that way. But as he aged, Charlie's hips went bad, and while he wasn't in great pain, he no longer ran after tennis balls and then dropped them and laid down, because that was his idea of being a retriever, was to go get the tennis ball, catch it, and then drop it and lay down, because, oh man, I wore myself out on that one, you know? But he was a golden, a deep red gold, in fact. So one spring Sunday, after I came home from church and undertook to plant some flowers in our front flower beds, Lisa, who was a nurse, came to me from the backyard and said, "John, I think Charlie is dying. Could you come back here?" So I walked into the backyard, and there was Charlie laying under his favorite azalea bush, basking in the sun. He'd done this for hours in his life, but laboring for breath. "He's been like this for about an hour," Lisa said. "I tried feeding him, but he won't budge." And we knew that was a sign, because food always worked for Charlie. So I knelt down and held Charlie's paw, looked in his eyes, and saw that, yes, the life was ebbing away from him. "Oh, buddy," I said. Our son Nathan and his wife Kate and our grandson Jackson lived with us at the time, and they joined us in a little congregation. We each took turns kneeling down and petting Charlie and whispering to him and crying, sobbing, in fact. Our neighbors, Bishop Fred Borsch and his wife Barbara, stopped by and expressed their sadness with us too. You know, we had a former Episcopal Bishop of Los Angeles present for Charlie's death. And over about 45 minutes, Charlie just gradually slipped away. As we huddled around him that spring sunlight underneath his favorite azalea bush. Our grandson Jackson, who was 4 at the time, watched this all with great interest, as you might imagine. We had taught Jackson about heaven, of course, and once Charlie had died and we wrapped him in a blanket, Jackson asked the question of questions. "Bapa?" he said to me, looking at me with bewilderment. "Charlie's not in heaven. He's right here." I laughed through my tears and hugged him and said, "Jax, Charlie's in heaven too. Because when you die, you can be in more than one place at a time. Like water, Charlie's surrounded by love, just like he was throughout his life." Because that's what heaven is, what it means to experience resurrection, pure, loving relationship, of which we get a foretaste whenever we experience love in this life. And that's why resurrection can't be primarily about individuals. Resurrection depends upon relationship. Resurrection is our resurrection, or not at all. And this makes sense when you think about it. Our bodies aren't really as distinct as we like to imagine them. It was Martin Luther who bequeathed to us the notion of the individual before God in a sort of salvation transaction. And while that focus on the individual has been a very good thing in history and brought us some great things, democracy, human rights, separation of church and state, it also led us down some unfortunate theological paths, away from the intimate relationship with everything that is one of God, our Creator's greatest gifts to us. Life begins, ends, and goes on in relationship, because our bodies are not as distinct as we've been taught. This is obvious when we reflect upon it for a minute. We breathe the same air, drink the same water, inhabit the same earth. Our bodies here on earth are made of the same stuff, mostly water. How could a resurrection of the body be any different then? We're all made of the same stuff when we live. Why would it be any different when we die? And here's the amazing comfort I find in this teaching. It frees us from the fear of death. The childhood fear I had, I see now, was misplaced, wrong, unnecessary. We can be confident that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Because, you ready? Christ the Lord is risen today.
Hallelujah.
You see, we demonstrate the truth of the resurrection every time we gather together, every time there is an us, every time we celebrate our worship of God. It is through community and communion that we realize we're all in it together. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Christ the Lord is risen today. Life now then is different too. Once we recognize this truth of God's abundant and infinite grace, resurrection happens every day. Think about that. Every day. Each moment in life, each breath is a little opening to eternity. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, reviving us with life-giving oxygen, inspiring us to live without fear, pointing us toward lives committed to justice and peace. Christ the Lord is risen today. Which is why I want us to turn now, as I'm wrapping up, to our bond of union. It's not in the bulletin this week. Many of you know it by heart, and I'm counting on you to help me with it today, because I want to wrap up by asking how this might be resurrected among us, this core of who we have been for so many years. So it starts like this, just the first phrase. Say it with me. Giving our all as we have been given all. It's been 1 year since I've been with you here at Union, and it's been a full and good year. I see so many giving of their all for this congregation that it truly fills my heart with love. And there are many of you who would want to give more but are giving in other areas of your life right now, and I get that. All I can say is that it's been a wonderful thing for me to begin to discover who we are as a congregation. It's truly been a joy to work with Pastor Bridget, who is an amazing preacher and who knows so much about ministry that it's been really great to learn from you. Thank you. And it's been fabulous to be with this music team, Ray and Song. Do you know that they donated money to pay for the congas that I played last Sunday? They did. And the whole staff, actually, Scott, Winnie, and Eric, give their all so that we can be who we are. And that's resurrection joy. We accept the second part of the bond of union. You ready? We accept the religion of love and service which Jesus lived and taught. We accept the religion of love and service which Jesus lived and taught. I'm actually really proud to be a part of this community where we do indeed accept the religion of love and service which Jesus lived and taught. And that is an awesome thing in American culture these days, where many claim the name of Jesus, but don't live it out. And we do, in so many ways, through Christian education and formation, outreach, inreach, worship, this fabulous choir. Wow, it's fun to sing with them, I'm telling you, right? And I'm so proud to be part of what I call our startup history. We're a startup church. If you look back, the Underground Railroad, women's suffrage, Habitat for Humanity, the Ecumenical Partnership for Housing, Howe Community Resource Center, On the Mark Dyslexia Clinic, all begun here among us as part of our resurrection. Did you know that On the Mark Dyslexia Clinic has 46 students enrolled for this summer? Isn't that awesome? Accepting the religion of love and service that Jesus lived and taught then means when we see a problem in the world, like students who can't read, we work together to do something to help solve that problem. I'm proud to tell people that I'm a pastor of this church that serves so many. Next clause in the bond of union. We declare it our purpose to strive to do the will of God. God's will for us is to have abundant life, like our beautiful planet in spring, so God wants us to grow. I won't ordinarily lift up particular congregants in a sermon, but I do want to lift up today Dr. Rolf and Ann Luloff. How they've taken Ann's Parkinson's disease and turned it into a God-driven purpose to found the Brain Center of Green Bay. I'm truly thrilled to be a part of this new ministry and excited to see how it takes root in our repurposed YCA room. The mission of the Brain Center is to promote brain health from birth through the life course, and it's guided by an acronym that is CARE, C-A-R-E, Collaboration, Advocacy, Research, and Education. Because our God is a collaborating God who advocates for us. We call the Holy Spirit the advocate, who wants us to use our brains, not leave them behind. So research, yeah, amen. Thank you, Pastor. And who is the ultimate teacher and educator. So that's the ministry of the Brain Center of Green Bay. And notice how out of a so-called disease, Parkinson's, comes this new life, this ministry that can serve so many among us, the Brain Center of Green Bay. And that's how it happens. That's how resurrection happens, that collective joy and spirit that brings new life even beyond death. Last clause in the bond of union, to make the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives and in all human relations. When the Christ Spirit is dominant in our lives and in all human relations, it means love is dominant for everyone, no exceptions. For example, on May 4th, we'll be sponsoring an Immigration Advocacy Teach-In Day here at Union. The service to our community will bring cutting-edge education from immigration-serving leaders, one from Washington, D.C., one from Milwaukee, and agencies in the area to offer workshops as well to help us learn how to move from compassion to action on behalf of immigrants among us. And it concludes right here in the sanctuary with a great Latin jazz service led by Rizal Piguero and her sisters, and Dr. Gaines, Adam, is going to be with us as well. Grateful for that, looking forward to that. So that's May 4th. It takes all of us to get the word out and to bring the people in. So please share the good news making the Christ Spirit dominant in our lives and in all human relations. So, I'm done. Did I hear an hallelujah to that one? I did. I think it was Jeff. Oh, it was David. All right. Whoever said it, amen, right? I have two more sentences. I hope you've heard God's word speaking to us of new life, of our resurrection. Our resurrection is real. Christ the Lord is risen today.